two dramatic sports finals in London over the weekend. At Wimbledon, tennis legend Novak Djokovic cemented his place at the top with his 20th Grand Slam title, tying Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal for the number of Grand Slams won. Then, later that day, about an hour's drive south in Wembley Stadium, traffic notwithstanding, English soccer fans gathered for the European Championship final between England and Italy. It came down to a shootout and one last shot for England.
Bukayo Saka, one of the youngest players ever to play in the European Championship. He's got to score here to keep England alive. And he doesn't! And Italy are champions of Europe!
Oh, for more on these two exciting finishes, let's bring in Christopher Clary. He's been at Wimbledon covering it for the New York Times while keeping an eye on soccer or football as well. Christopher, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you. It was quite a weekend here, for sure.
Yeah. So let's start with that Euro Cup final. England's team was handpicked from some of the best players in the world. Italy didn't even qualify for the World Cup 3 years ago, and the last time they won the Euro Cup was in 1968. Just how exactly did Italy do it yesterday?
Well, Italy's been a very impressive side throughout this tournament, you know, rebuilt underneath their manager. They've been flashy, and they've also been clinical. And so I think everybody knew they were dangerous, but England was daring to dream. They talk about, you know, the Euro coming home, because that's where football or soccer was basically codified, was in this part of the world. It's become kind of a, I'd say, almost an ironic refrain for a long time. And they had not been this close in a major championship since 1966 when they won the World Cup. Wimbledon has certainly been on the back burner, and then it came down to penalties. And it's a brutal way to finish an important sporting event, but there it was. And you got a feel for that teenager.
Just so heartbreaking for England. For those who maybe don't know what extra time or shootouts mean, could you just describe the tension of those last couple of minutes as we all watch?
Well, the game last night, England scored in the first couple of minutes. Then it became excruciating. They had to wait and hold on to the lead. They lost the lead. So after if you're tied in a final or a championship game, you have to go to extra time. And it used to be a sudden death where one goal would do it, and they've changed that now. So you play two 15-minute periods. So you play 30 minutes more of soccer. And if it's still tied, then you go to penalty shootout, which is each team gets 5 penalty kicks. And it just becomes this moment where everybody watching knows that it's going to stay with the players their whole lives, good or bad.
Tennis. Wimbledon had wrapped up earlier in the day. Djokovic faced down the Italian Matteo Berrettini for Djokovic's third consecutive title at Wimbledon. Did Berrettini have a chance? I guess that was a tougher morning for the Italians. What are your highlights from that final match?
Well, Berrettini was a total newcomer to this level. He's never been in a Grand Slam final before. He reached the U.S. Open semifinals a couple of years ago. And Novak Djokovic, as you know, is one of the most accomplished players and experienced players in tennis history. And most important thing about this match was he was trying to tie Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, who've been his two career-long rivals, and win a 20th Grand Slam singles title, which is the men's record. He's been chasing them since he joined the tour. They've always been ahead of him, and anybody who knew his past and the game couldn't pick against him yesterday when he's playing Berrettini without any experience at that level. But Djokovic has weathered so many storms in his career, and he's on a great tear right now. He's has a chance to complete the Grand Slam, which hasn't been done since 1969, by winning all four major tournaments in the same calendar year. This was his third, and frankly, once he got through the first set after losing it and then won the first couple of games of the second set, he took control of that match. He's just so hard to get the ball past. He's such a great defender and so elastic.
In the women's singles final at Wimbledon, number one ranked Ashley Barty took the win in three sets. She dominated the former number one, Karolina Pliskova. What's the story there?
Looking at Ash Barty, I think it really has to be viewed through her home country's lens. I mean, she is a hugely popular figure in Australia. She's viewed as the quintessential Australian, humble, hardworking. She's Indigenous, and it was a real connection to the past. The last time an Australian woman had won the Wimbledon singles title was in 1980, Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley, who also is an Indigenous woman. And they both have connected over the years, and Goolagong-Cawley has been very much a mentor to Ash Barty. She put it together, and from what I was told, there were 2 million Australians watching in the middle of the night.
Hmm.
So that gives you an idea of sort of what weight she carries back there. And I think having a second Grand Slam singles title now, she won the French Open in 2019. She may hit a new level now heading into the Olympics and the U.S. Open.
Well, it was quite a day yesterday. My guess is your heart has slowed a bit. I hope you get a
I'm actually going
off
to cover
here.
The Open Golf for the New York Times, so it'll be the break will come in about a week. So we'll see how that goes. The country is slowly opening up over here, and they're going to have big crowds out for the golf, and that'll be it's been very heartening to see the crowds come back to sport over here. I know how much the country's been through.
Even though COVID's not done.
No, it's not, and that's a very good point.
That was Christopher Clary, international sports correspondent for the New York Times. Christopher, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.